A series called that we call the Simplicity of the Simple Life. And one of the things that we're trying to do is just look at things that are, we've made life and we've made things way too complicated. And I believe that oftentimes in different traditions and within church experience, if we're not careful, we do the exact same thing. So what we're doing is we're just looking at some things that will just help us to simplify ourselves if we can just get back to the simplicity of the Word of God. We've been going through Romans chapter 12. And so this morning, what I want you to just focus on is just the simple focus of good and evil. Now, it seems like such a simple thing. And what we want to do in verse 9 is we don't want to just jump past the power of this truth. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, we've been talking about this, and I just want to remind you that there is some amazing truth about the body of Christ. And if you dovetail that with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, what we see is this teaching, this reality from God, that within his body, the church, the health of the body is not based on me. Thank you, God, for that. The health of the body is not based on Chris and I. It's not based on our elders and wives. The health of the body is based on all of us pursuing health. And then here's the thing. For most of us, we have not been involved in a church family that really believes that to the point of raising that bar and trying to proclaim that so that we can all participate and create a healthy church situation. Because we are his family. We are his flock. We are his body. So this morning, I want to go back to Romans chapter 12. Last week, where we were talking about the importance of human trafficking awareness and the dialogue that we had last week. The week before that, we were in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, the beginning part. And I want to remind you, we're going to read the whole verse now. Some of you are like, Tim, this is going to take us 3 years to get through Romans chapter 12. Hopefully not, okay? Hopefully not. But let me just remind you, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9 in the New King James. Let love be without hypocrisy. A couple weeks ago, we just talked about we've got to own what the world thinks about church. We're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, no sense fighting with that. Let's try to embrace that and show something different. What does it read on? Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. In the New Living Translation, it says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Wouldn't it be cool? That's what we're trying to be right now with this church family. Wouldn't it be cool to be a part of a continuing group of people that are continuing to learn how to love, to be embraced, to extend love, to receive love? It's not idealistic. It's what God wants for us. And what does he say? Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. So this is what I want you to see in the Greek here. The word abhor in the Greek in this passage, it means to dislike, to detest utterly, to have a horror of. Now, let me just be honest with you. Go ahead, some of you, let's just be straightforward. Some of us, the way we deal with evil is not to have a horror of it or to abhor it or dislike it. It's more of like this. There's a sort of an embrace, a familiarization. And then if we're not careful, what we're trying to do is we're trying to cover up the reality of our closeness to evil. And so what does it say here in cling? In the Greek in this passage, it's from the root, and you can look this up, but the root here has to do with gluing together or fastening together. But in this verse, it carries the idea of giving oneself steadfastly to or to labor for. In other words, think of it like this. the gluing or the fastening together has to do with intentional effort or work toward the process of staying attached. Does that make sense? Hey, Mark, come up here. We're good. I'm going to use Mark as a representation of God this morning. Okay? Because I think it's important that you need to understand this, and we need to just kind of work through this. Because here's what a lot of us think. I come to Christ, I believe in him, and then what we have a tendency to think is, all of a sudden, I'm just glued to God. Okay? And so here's the thing I need you to understand. There's a huge difference between the way that God views us in this belief and sanctification process and the way that we view ourselves and his work. So think of it this way. It would be really cool if we could live out just being glued or fastened to God. Man, wouldn't that be so much easier? But it's not that. It's that a lot of times some of us this morning, we're feeling like, oh, I'm just not feeling it. I feel like I'm so far from God. You notice he hasn't moved anywhere. He hasn't gone anywhere. Here's the issue that most of us forget or don't understand: the power of intentional pursuit. So for me to be glued or fastened to God is based on the intentionality and the effort, the labor that I put into this relationship. Is this making sense? Thank you. Good job. That's yeah. Go America. So I just believe it's extremely important at this juncture to focus on the flow of this passage. So let's reread verse 9. I want to key verse 10 in here because I need for you to understand this. Verse 9, we said it before. Don't pretend to love. Hate what is evil. Make effort to glue yourself to good. Verse 10, love each other with genuine affection. Now, here's the thing. I need for you to see this. From a relational standpoint, love, good and evil, love. Love, good and evil, and love. I got three considerations for you this morning, and then I've got a ton of scripture. If you're taking notes, we've got some copies up here, and we're going to have it online. We are going to blow through a bunch of scripture this morning, okay? Some of the people after the last service, they were like, Tim, you blew through the scripture. I was like, I'm not lying to you. If you got a pencil, you better sharpen it. If you got a pen, make sure you get a lot of ink, okay? But I want to give you three considerations before we jump in. First consideration, it appears to me that we have a tendency to misappropriate our love on things and not on people. This tendency also exhibits itself in hating people instead of hating the evil or the wrong or the sin that is in the world. Let me give you that one again. This tendency also exhibits itself in hating people instead of hating the evil or the wrong or the sin that is in this world. At this juncture, I need to say to someone here this morning, the goodness of God that we're going to continue to talk about, God being good, you will not be able to experience the full flow of his goodness until you release hatred, bitterness, and resentment toward another or a group of human beings. And if you jump in this scripture, you're going to say, I'm not telling you anything that's not true. From Genesis to Revelation, there's this profound truth that for you to experience all the beautiful things that God wants to do in and through you, you're going to have to deal with this issue of hatred. And it's a powerful issue for most of us. Let me give you a second consideration. It appears that our definitions of good and evil vary greatly based on our interpretation of various experiences in our lives and sources of information in our lives. If we had the time and I could get you to participate, our explanation, our definitions of good and evil would probably represent the number of people in this room right now at the sound of my voice based on there again, our experiences and the things, the way that we view life. I need for you to just think about that because it's a powerful consideration. The third consideration, and I believe honestly, this is where a lot of us are stuck. Our third consideration, as a Christ follower, it appears to me that the Holy Scriptures teach that faith means believing and embracing what God says is true over our perception of what we think might be true. Did you grasp that third consideration? Being a Christ follower means that the Holy Scriptures, this faith, it's not just an intellectual faith. It's not just a faith that we talk about, but it's a faith that we embrace. We embrace what God says to be true, regardless of what we might think truth to be. Some of you, and this is what I want to say, I'm saying this to you in love. Some of you are stuck because you've rationalized and justified and you have created your own good and evil definitions. And what has happened is that you're, whether you realize it or not, you're holding on to something that's sinful, destructive, or something in your life that you've tried to rationalize, justify, or explain away. And because of that, you're not able to move on and experience the vivacious power of God because you're working off of different definitions than His. So what I want to do this morning is, I'm just going to tell you, there is enough evil in this world. I don't need to talk about the evil things. Most of you got smutted, smacked, splattered. I mean, even going to the grocery store, it's just like, oh, I just want a gallon of milk. That's all I want. And there's evil all around us. What I want to present to you this morning is just a smattering of what the Word of God says about the goodness of God and God's goodness. And this is what for some of you in your growth and your maturity, I want to encourage you with a word study like this. Some of you, you've never done this, but I want to encourage you. You can open the Word of God. Some of us are old enough. Remember when you used to have to do a word study? You had this big, thick book called a concordance, and you open up the concordance, and you would see that, like, oh, my word, there's 875 verses in the Bible about the goodness of God or being good. And then what you would do is you just start going through there, and you open up your Bible, and you go through them. And 4 hours later, you'd found 35 verses, and you still had another 850 to go. Today, all you got to do is click, and you're like, there it is. But here's the thing. These resources are only as good as the amount of time that you use to pursue them. So some of you, if you've never done a word study before, I can promise you that it will maybe enlighten or encourage or jumpstart your love for the Word of God. So follow along with me this morning. It says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Let me just remind you, you know, this whole issue of good being evil and evil being good, this is not a new thing. It's been going on for a long time. And we still, as human beings, we get caught up in this cycle. Think about what it's saying here in Isaiah. Acts chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. In the New American Standard Version 95. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting with Galilee. After the baptism which John proclaimed, You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. So here's our Lord. We're trying to learn to walk in his way. We are continually talking about learning how to be apprentice of Jesus and following his way. What does it say about him? What did Jesus do the whole time he walked the earth? He did good and he tried to help people. Why was he crucified? Because he did good and he tried to help people. So what are we supposed to be? What kind of people are we supposed to be? Doing good and helping people. And that proclaims a love. That's why we do it. The motive of love. So let's read Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, the New Living Translation. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Someone here this morning, I don't know who you are. You're tired. You feel beat up. And you need to hear what the Spirit says to you, but hear my words. Do not give up and don't stop doing good. Do not give up and don't stop being. Hang in there, because there's something just right around the corner. This is a promise. Let's read on. For 2 Thessalonians 2, 15 through 17 in New King James. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Here's the thing. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have made Christ your Savior and Lord, and you are pressing in him and following him, can I just tell you something? I don't care what your past is. I don't care what your boo-boos. I don't care what your mistakes are. None of that matters. When you come to Jesus, you get this forgiveness, and you get this repurposing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single person is prepared by God to do good in word and works. You say, well, Tim, I don't need to know. This is what the scripture says. This is what God is trying to say to us this morning. Can you imagine if we all live with this level of commitment and pursuit? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19 in the New International Version. Command those who are rich. Now, let me just stop right there. Some of you are going to look around and go, okay, so here's our standard of comparison. If you look at the globe, if you look at the world, if you look at all the countries, I don't care what your socioeconomic standing is in this building today, by the rest of the world standard, you are rich. Yeah, amen. See? You are rich. So guess what? This verse applies to every single one of us in here. Look at what it says. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? Because if we go back to our first consideration, we misplace our love and we put it in things. So what does it say? Nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. You know, I mean, it's a constantly changing thing. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good. I'm commanding y'all to do good. All you rich people out here, do good. And what does it say? To be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. At this point, I want to say thank you. I'm so proud of our church family. I believe that you do an amazing job at giving and sharing and helping. But let's not stop there. And it needs to continue to grow. But thank you for being the kind of church family they are. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 18 in the NLT. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, simply by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 in the ESV. But test everything. But what do you hold on to? What do you hold fast to? The good. Test everything, but hold fast to what is good. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 in the New King James. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And let me say this. When you are pressing in to stay glued to, attached to Father God, the circumstances become less of a focus, and his goodness and his presence become the focus, and it changes our perspective regardless of what we're going through. That's just reality. Some of you have been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Psalm 107, verse 1, New American Standard 95. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. This is a psalmist saying about Father God. You are good. Teach me about this. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Mark chapter 10, verse 18. And Jesus said to them, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So at this point, I want to just remind you, as I stand up here this morning, there is only one who is truly good, and it is the one true God. Creator God of heaven and earth, one of the many names that we know him by is Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai. We could go through all different kinds of names because he is such a good God filled with goodness. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. You look at all the age groups that are in this building and on this property this morning. To God be the glory. It extends to all generations. Exodus 33, verse 18 and 19. Moses said, focus on this. This is Moses. You remember the story. Moses said, please show me your glory, God. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God's glory is seen in his goodness. What blew Moses away is God's goodness passed before him. Jeremiah 42, 6. Whether it's good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Let me just remind you, we say it all the time, relationship with God by grace through faith is how an apprentice of walking in the ways of Jesus learns the difference between God, who is good, and the forces of evil. God is good and wants his goodness in us from the inside out. Now, I'm just going to use a simple reminder this morning. Some of you, you've been through this training. You don't learn how to spot counterfeit cash by studying counterfeits. How do you learn to spot counterfeits? You study the real thing. You look at the nuances. You understand the texture of the paper. You get all these different things. You study the real thing so that then you can spot the fake. You can spot it. And it's just, it's one of those things, like in anything, If you study the real thing and understand the authenticity, then when somebody tries to pull the wool over your eyes, you go, no, I know what the real thing looks like. Some of us, the reason we're struggling is because we have not put effort into gluing ourselves, attaching ourselves to this great God and his goodness. So we're still a little confused on what this whole thing with good and evil is. And I'm saying to you again this morning that this whole church family pursuit, all that we're talking about, is based on a personal pursuit of Father God through Jesus Christ by the sealing work of his Holy Spirit. How are we going to know how to navigate this world? We have to put the effort forth to stay glued, attached to him. We all need this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 through 18 in the NIV. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. The goodness of God in forgiveness and transformation. Old Testament, New Testament. He responds to us. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 24. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Some of you, I just want to remind you, what's the reason for the Old Testament? It's our schoolmaster to show us that the real evil starts and resides in us naturally. It's in our DNA. So what does it say here? But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Anyone who will believe, doesn't matter what your past is, because we've all boo-booed. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21 in the NLT. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is a blueprint for how we can be like Jesus and do good and help other people. And if you look at this, it is intrinsically relationship driven. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. As I wrap things up, I want you to hear the power of these verses. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, you're glued to him, you're attaching yourself to him, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Think about back when Moses saw his goodness go before him. So we're going to share in that goodness. Think about this. So put to death the sinful, the earthly things lurking within you. You say, oh, Pastor Tim, I don't have sinful things lurking within me. Well, let's start with your lying and deception of yourself. Love you too. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now it is time to get rid of anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It's not a switch that gets flipped. That's why we use the term progressive sanctification. That's why we talk about baby steps. That's why we talk about intentionality. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, or whatever you say, brothers and sisters, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. We should be people that are experiencing the goodness of God and then doing good things and reflecting His goodness to other people, whether we think they deserve it or not. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I'm going to read this in the Amplified because I want you to think about this. For we are His workmanship. We, not me. We are His workmanship, or His own masterwork. Whether you feel like you're His masterwork or not, the scripture is saying that you are a work of art. A work in progress, but a work of art. Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for what? For good works. What is the point of all this? For good works, which God prepared for us before Him, taking paths which He set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us. We are supposed to be carving out, being intentional so that we can, with effort and work, blood, sweat, and tears, we can stay attached or glued to God and His presence. Why? So that we can experience His goodness and His good things, and then we can be about doing good things for His glory. We must be a family of Christ followers that are learning and growing and changing, because we are being intentional about pursuing the God family. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That it seems like we're actually working to glue ourselves to them. And make no mistake, please hear my heart. If you are going to be intentional about gluing or fastening yourself to God and being close to Him, and doing good things because you're experiencing His goodness, please hear me. You will be weird. You will be fanatical. You will be viewed as different. And we need to embrace that family, familiar attachment to Him and not back away from that. Dude, you seem like a Jesus freak. Yeah, I am. You're a little extreme. Thank you. You seem a bit fanatical about this whole God thing. Guilty. You get what I'm saying? The only way to truly know the difference between good and evil as we pursue him is to spend time with God, who is good. I know there's some of you here this morning, you feel far away from God. What I showed you earlier, God is faithful. He didn't go anywhere. We're the ones that crawl away. We're the ones that walk away. Sometimes we run in a sprint away from him. Hey, welcome to humanity. But I need to ask you this morning, have you truly experienced the goodness of God for yourself? I'm not talking about playing religion. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about by faith through grace. I don't deserve forgiveness. The goodness of God is revealed and flows through our lives, and we get to experience his goodness. And then maybe some of the people around you will say, why are you doing the things you're doing? And you say, because God is good. And I'm getting to know him. And I want to just tell you, this church family, you in this county, we've been experiencing this on a whole new level the last several months. Well, people will literally say to me, and some of you come and you'll express what other people are saying to you. Well, why are y'all doing that? What are you going to gain from that? What's going to be the return on what you're doing? And our response, some of your response is, because it's the right thing to do. We're extending love and help. We're just trying to do good things on behalf of other people. May we continue to be guilty of those things, because the return is glorifying him. The return is sowing seed of good things, loving things for his kingdom and for his glory. The goodness of God. Have you allowed it to flow over you? His forgiveness is so good. Being redeemed and being allowed to know him is such a beautiful, good thing. Being able to extend forgiveness to someone that doesn't deserve it is such a good thing. Living in freedom is a good thing. Living with contentment is a good thing. Having the joy of the Lord is such a proclamation of his goodness, because joy is not something we produce in ourselves. Let's be a church family that is focused on his goodness and doing good. And if you jump down to the end and look at verse 21, you know why it's so important to grab this truth now? Because it says later on in Romans chapter 12 that the way that we vanquish evil is with goodness. Go down and look at verse 21. I don't know what it is, but we need to be a church family that is focused on him. And as we stand and as the worship team comes up, I just want to say, whatever needs to take place in your life, will you make a choice today? Maybe you've never experienced, maybe you've never believed that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Maybe you've never gotten a taste of that goodness. Let me ask you to do that, to say, I believe. And maybe you need his goodness to cleanse you and help you. Repentance, as we talked about earlier, is a beautiful gift. Let's walk in it. Let's stand and let's think about these things as we sing together.